96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides.
They're beginning to throw things. The white nationalists, the white supremacists are throwing full bottles. It's beginning to be physical here.
Blood and soil, blood and soil.
Those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment, Racism in America, Crisis in Charlottesville. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we take an in-depth look at the weekend's deadly violence in Virginia and the broader implications it has for America. My guests are Dr. Greg Carr, chair of the Afro-American Studies Department here at Howard University, Eugene Puryear with the Stop Police Terror Project, D.C., and D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or DailyDrumWHUR. Thank you all for joining me. Let me go straight into this. Dr. Carr, you had a chance to absorb the events of the weekend. What is your reaction to the events starting from Friday until today?
Business as usual, brother.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, you know, this begins in part with trying to take down Confederate statues. We saw what happened in New Orleans. We've seen what happened all over the country. You see, this is the logical extension of what has happened during this Donald Trump era. Well, I should say Steve Bannon era, Donald Trump being the host and Steve Bannon being the virus, but, you know, kind of a chronic virus of American racism. What do I mean by that? I mean, you're looking at people they're calling alt-right or white nationalists, but, you know, that's an ideology. And this formation is the most virulent, the most overtly racist, but it's really built on a deeper foundation and a structure. This is about a struggle over what it means to be American, what it means to be a citizen, what it means to literally live in this country. And, you know, whether it be Jeff Sessions and all these other folks obsessed with putting non-white people out of the country, whether it be the attack on Islam and otherness, what we see saw in Charlottesville is an attempt to make a stand for a way of life and an ideology that basically says this is a white man's country, literally a white man's country. And anyone else who, you know, if they can't get rid of them, you know, by any other means, then there needs to be an intimidating show of force. So, you know, this is 200 plus years in the making.
Eugene, you were there on Saturday evening. What I saw, and I think what a lot of people saw on Saturday in the video, is that there were a lot of white people counter-protesting. But at least in the many, many pieces of video and live shots that I saw, I did not see a lot of black folks. Is that accurate?
I think it's accurate and not accurate. I think that the crowd that was out there did have a number of people who were white, think we were Asian, people who were Latinos. If you look at the photo, the great photo that was taken, and I say great in the quality of the photo, not what happened, by the Daily Progress reporter of the driving of the car yourself, you'll see the most prominent individual sort of being tumbled over the car was a black gentleman who was there. And the rumor for some time was the woman who had been killed had been a younger black woman who was a part of the demonstration. I think in Charlottesville, Virginia, the history of this sort of hatred and white supremacy, and I'm from Charlottesville, is relatively deep in the history of the country, and I think that's certainly reflected in the fact that many people, I think, were very happy to see folks come in from the outside and stand for Charlottesville, but I do think in the community itself, you know, there was some reticence about being on the front line because of something like this happening. But what I will say is in Friendship Court, formerly Garrett Square, which is, you know, quote-unquote public housing, it's a majority black neighborhood, people there Twitter had been not only harassed by these Nazis all week long, but had been coming out and making their voices heard. And there's a great video, actually, that says everything you need to know about these people. It's a handful of these white supremacists trying to get back to their car, and the black population from Friendship Court just moves en masse out of Friendship Court, comes into the street and says, get out of our community, with some more choice language than that. And these guys were scared and shaking. So I think that we saw the black community certainly have a presence. And shout out to Vice Mayor Wes Bellamy, who set this whole thing off, a younger black man, youngest guy to ever be city council, by pushing to vote to remove that statue.
Delegate Norton, let's talk about the political implications, because Dr. Carr said, you know, business as usual. Is this what we should now expect from this Trump administration? The, you know, the reaction, the attitude, the boldness of these racist groups. Is there anything that may be able to counter this before 2020?
Well, we've already seen some countering, because the only reason that the president made a third attempt, one of them was through a spokesman, was because of public reaction to his first attempt. It's very important to understand where these people come from. Before the Trump presidency, these groups had been around. They have multiplied exponentially during his presidency. The link to Trump is now unmistakable. The good news for Charlottesville is, why did he finally come out and say something? And I think that tells you something about the American people, that you can't get away with that anymore. Now, it is certainly true that these groups are multiplying, but they need a leader. They believe they have found a leader in President Trump. I hate to say that, but they have said it themselves. They have, David Duke came out and said, we are your people. Remember why we are here. So I don't think there is any way that the President of the United States can escape responsibility for what happens in Charlottesville, particularly since he hasn't taken responsibility for what happened in Charlottesville.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is a special edition of the Daily Drum's Insights segment, Racism in America, Crisis in Charlottesville. Let me talk to TJ. TJ, calling from D.C. Hey. TJ, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, good evening, Harold. How are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I would like to send my condolences to the people that did lose loved ones, and I would like to send my condolences to the people that were injured. But I have a different take on this. I'm not a Donald Trump supporter per se, but I am also angry with the whole political system. And I think that the media is just as white and racist as the people that were out there marching. So for them to be giving us this misinformation and this, what Donald Trump would say, false information, false news, fake news, why should we believe them?
What are you talking about specifically?
Okay. Specifically, Donald Trump said that there were a lot of different agitators. You know, Duke University and UVA are predominantly Christian institutions. They were created to be predominantly Christian institutions, and now they're predominantly Jewish. And the Jews have gone in and tried to change their ceremonies and change their inductions.
Let me stop you right there, TJ, because I think what we're talking about is what happened during the course of this weekend.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about as well. TJ, I think that you're really putting your finger on something. And it's interesting. James Whitman, who's at Yale Law School, just wrote a book called Hitler's American Model, where he looks at how Nazi Germany looked at what the United States was doing to black people and the Native Americans and others for their model for what they were going to do to the Jews. Steve Bannon is certainly an anti-Semite. And, you know, the University of Virginia, Thomas Jefferson enslaved Africans, you know, certainly as Eugene can talk about the history of Charlottesville, we know that. Thomas Jefferson, however, was not a Christian. And so right. When you start talking about Jewish influences and this kind of thing, I think that plays right into Steve Bannon's wheelhouse for sure. Donald Trump really doesn't have an ideology. I think he's probably fortunate if he remembers what he did this morning. He's a kind of a host. But I think what you're really tapping into is the kind of I don't want to say conspiracy kind of notion, but the idea somehow that there's this cabal that is somehow plotted against Americans and that somehow this country needs to be taken back from that group. I think you're really tapping into that. And there's a lot of people out there who would follow along that line. Of course, that line ends to a dead end and a lot of chaos. But I think that's what you're articulating is something that Steve Bannon and pushed very frequently, particularly on the places like Breitbart News.
Well, I think it's more than that. I mean, I think if you look at, say, someone like Charles Murray, who's written several books that says that black people are genetically inferior to white people, he's allowed to hold forth in the New York Times. And I think that's the important thing, is that there really is a thin reed, from my point of view, between the sort of quote-unquote acceptable amount of racism in our society and the unacceptable amount. I mean, you have Mitch McConnell saying, oh, well, I'm against white supremacy, and then everyone can easily find a picture of him speaking at a League of the South, I believe, fundraiser. Steve Scalise, who spoke at a white supremacist event, who in 2004 voted against a Martin Luther King Jr. holiday in the state holiday in Louisiana. So totally anachronistic vote. So who is he speaking to? And I think that we're in a society where when it's wrapped in the Confederacy, it's okay to have an ideology of white supremacy, and it only becomes negative when all of a sudden it appears that it's Nazi-related or to some degree KKK-related. But I think the delegate really, Delegate Norton was 100% correct here. The whole goal of this Unite the Right rally, which is what they said coming in, was to unify the fascist, neo-Nazi, KKK factions into a much stronger centralized force that has nested in this Donald Trump campaign, and which they believe, and one of the people who was there, Mike Painovich, actually said they believe this, that Trump is giving them space. He said on his own podcast, Trump is giving us the space to destroy.
And, well, so I understand that. I think I wasn't clear about what TJ was referring to, whether, because it sounded as if he was talking about the media. And
well, I don't know. I don't know, TJ, if you're clear either, brother.
That's what
I meant.
Yeah, and that was my piece, because he started talking about the media, and then he started, so that's where I kind of got confused.
It all bakes into a thing, and then we get used.
Yeah,
because to
that particular point, it is not just about Steve Bannon. It's also about Steve Miller, who is reputed to have some white nationalist ties. It's also about Sebastian Gorka.
Yes.
Who is also a White House advisor, although his exact title is very, very murky.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to leave soon.
Please. And I was going to ask you about that. Please go ahead.
I do want to say something about the white nationalism within the administration. It is said now that Bannon is on thin ice, but you have heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that Trump, that this white nationalism, in the form of Bannon and his allies, were embedded in this campaign from the beginning. And as long as Bannon is there, as long as Miller is there, it is going to be impossible to convince people that the president is a mainstream president. I think this is a turning point for his presidency. And frankly, with all the discussion we've had here this evening and that's going on across the country, I do think that there has been a repudiation from my colleagues, who I don't agree with on virtually anything, as well as my allies who are Democrats, of this presidency, of this president, where he stands on race. This is a very important moment, and we've got to take charge of it.
Yes.
Can you tell me, before I let you go, can you tell me a little bit more about that? You know, one could say, when conservative whites begin to talk about racism, there has been a watershed moment. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I certainly agree with that. I think what we've seen now is fear from my Republican colleagues that Trump may be branding the Republican Party with racism and white nationalism. That scares the bejesus out of my colleagues. It's not that they are pure and free, but they really aren't out and out racist. And they know that they cannot possibly, the party of Abraham Lincoln, continue to offer any leadership if they are branded as their president seems to be doing. He's out for himself. He's not even thinking about his party. This is a dangerous moment for the Republican Party itself. And I'm going to have to leave you.
Well, I appreciate you spending some time with us. As always, you know, we appreciate your institutional knowledge, your expertise, and your political savvy. So DC Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton,
I do want to say before I leave.
Yes, ma'am.
I believe, and this may seem strange to my colleagues on the panel, that that what happened today and what Trump has been saying, frankly, throughout the 6 months, has proved something of an embarrassment to my colleagues in the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't see them standing up and saying, as we did when Obama was in office,
right?
Echoing him and reinforcing him.
I got to go. I'm out of time.
Okay, so do I. Bye-bye.
But thank you so much. I appreciate it. That is the Daily Drum for the first half hour. We're going to be back in just a moment. So please, if you're on the line, Aisha, Fred, I believe that's Gurin, stay with us. We'll continue on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.